The Weekly Warp Pipe.
Where are you going? Where are you coming from? Sneaking back here.
I was trying to grab something, and I thought of it last second.
Last second. Welcome to Turbo Time. Turbo Town.
That's Turbo Tap Time. I'm Turbo Man.
There we go. Yeah, we're going to be diving in about the Turbo Graphic 16. I wore my Devil's Crush shirt right here that I got.
Pretty slick.
Pretty good. Pretty good one.
And I grabbed my Turbo Graphics Mini.
It's pretty big for a mini, I'd say.
Oh, compared, it's definitely.
Well, compared to, you got an SNES Classic right there?
You know what? I do actually have an SNES Classic right here. Let me grab it.
You got a banana for scale? There's the NES one. So it's like two NESs next to each other. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like pretty crazy.
Okay. I didn't get a chance to pick one of those up, and I looked recently, but they're still so expensive.
So I got mine on my birthday the year they came out, and how I got it was I just happened to be checking Amazon, and it was like one in stock. So I think someone had bought it and returned it. And I think I paid $129 for it. So
okay.
I don't think that was the original price, but it didn't seem too bad. So I was like, all right, I'm doing it.
Right. Because, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess we could look up now and see what the heck they're going on Amazon.
Imagine, yeah, I have no
under it, or
it might have been 119. It was like just a little over 100. But like when I got it, it had like a return label stuck on the box that I had to carefully peel away.
Gotcha. Let's see. I'm seeing a bunch of controllers. There's a wireless controller. It just has no price currently unavailable on that one. Yeah, I don't think you can get it. There's one renewed. No, I think that's an original one. That's not a mini. $500 for the
original OG.
Well, wow. on Amazon.
Oh, I guess so. Yeah, you
can charge whatever you want. I don't see anything on Amazon for that. So, who knows? You have to go to eBay or buy it at a game store or game convention.
Well, Russ, I kind of want to start at the beginning.
At the beginning,
what is your memory of the TurboGrafx-16 from when you were a kid?
It's not a whole lot. The most that stands out in my mind is my buddy Justin growing up. I remember he lived probably, like 8 blocks away from me. We'd all kind of get together in the general neighborhood. And I remember going over his house and seeing Bonk's Adventure for the first time on there. And I was like, wow, this is pretty neat. And even the controller was a little odd, right?
Yeah.
Shaped a little bit different. And it said run instead of start, right? I was like, okay.
Right.
That's a little odd.
Right. Yeah.
But I only ever played it and seen it at his house. Out of all my friends' groups and everything, no one else had a Turbo Graphics 16. And I don't even remember a lot of ads for it, right? You go through a comic book and there'd be tons of video games ads, and it was mostly just like Sega or Nintendo stuff. I don't think I'm sure there was TurboGrafx stuff, but I don't remember it.
Are you still friends with that guy today?
I've seen him maybe 8 years ago or so, and I even, his brother was actually reached out to me, and I did a music video for his brother. He was doing some rapping and we got together and I did that, but not in recent years. He might have come in when I worked at the game store.
I would love to know his story. Like, why did he choose this, or who bought this for him, or how did he get it? You know, because I just don't remember kids clamoring for this thing the way they were, either the Genesis or the Super NES or even the NES.
Right.
So I'll tell you my first memory of the TurboGrafx-16. So September of 92, my buddy TJ invited me to his birthday to spend the night, and it was basically just me and TJ hanging out, getting pizza, hanging out. Well, his mom brings in this big box, and she opens up the box, and it's a Super NES. And like, so we, like, the first thing I just remember is like, oh my gosh, this thing looks so crazy and futuristic. So we're playing it, we're playing Mario World, we're getting on Yoshi. Like, I'm just, my mind's just blown. Like, all I can think about is, how am I going to get this system? So I go home that after that night, and you know, my mind is like filled with Super NES, and I'm starting to see more Super Nintendo commercials. And it's weird because I don't remember seeing Super Nintendo commercials previous to me seeing his Super Nintendo.
Right.
I don't know if it's just like when it came into my conscious, or if I just didn't think about it as a possibility until I saw TJ had it. So, fast forward, maybe it might have been around October. Got a wish book in the mail from like Sears or something. So I'm flipping through the wish book looking for the Super Nintendo, and also there was a lot of Sega Genesis commercials. So in my mind, I'm like debating, all right, I really, really, really love the Super Nintendo and I love Mario World, but the Sega is also kind of alluring because Sonic's pretty cool. And, you know, I'm trying to figure out which I'm going to get. So I open this book and I see the Super NES, I see the Sega, and then I see this other thing, TurboGrafx-16. And I'm like, what is this thing? Like, how come I've never heard of this? And I remember thinking, even as like an 11-year-old kid, yeah, it was probably very similar to this ad right here. But I remember thinking that if they had to call it TurboGrafx, I almost thought, oh, they're just trying to hype this thing up. It can't be as good as the Super Nintendo, even though Super Nintendo is called Super.
Versus Turbo. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I don't know why I was so biased towards the Super NES, and I'm like, I didn't have a problem, but TurboGrafx seemed too obvious to me, you know. And I just remember thinking how odd the system looked. Like, it just looked so strange. You know, it's shaped kind of like a T almost, like
right with the power bank in the back.
Yeah, it had like the weird orange like logo, and I remember looking at the games and I thought Bonk's Adventure looked pretty cool.
I mean, compared to the PC Engine here, which they got,
it's huge.
It's like such a cleaner, more compact system, but bringing it over stateside again with like, you know, America, everything was like big and bulky in the, I guess, 80s and 90s. So a lot of what the TurboGrafx is empty, and the main component is in there. But they, you know, you're comparing it to like a VCR that you would get, you know, back then, and like, okay, that's a big device. Because I think the main thing would be like, oh, this costs X amount of dollars. Why is it so small? You feel like you're getting more worth it if it's bigger.
Right. Yeah, for sure. But I just remember seeing it and just like the Super NES, I think, was $129 or $139. The Sega was $10 cheaper, so it was either $119 or $129. But then the TurboGrafx was $99.99. And all I can remember thinking was, I wouldn't have to save up near as much money if I chose this one.
Right.
But the only problem was I didn't know what it was. You know, I just knew that the Super NES was great because I'd played it. And then all this advertisement for the Sega made me like, maybe I'd choose that one. But I had no idea what this TurboGrafx-16 was. And I bought my Super NES November of that year. Like, so just like 3 months later.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought about the TurboGrafx again until I became a retro gamer, like, what was it, 10 years ago? And I was like, and then I started thinking about all those things. And I was like, oh yeah, the TurboGrafx. I forgot that was even a thing.
Right.
But anyway, I just thought it was so interesting because like you said, you had one friend that had it. I had no friends that had it. Not to my knowledge, anyway.
Right. So how many could have been sold throughout the cities, I guess, or whatever, you know, distributed to the kids? Because then, you know, you go to school and you'd think maybe one of the kids got one for Christmas or be talking about it, and they get the word like Super Nintendo. Oh, I got a TurboGrafx. Wait, what is that? Like, never heard of that.
Right.
But I don't remember any word of mouth at school about TurboGrafx.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Pat Country's video on how he got his?
I don't think so.
So it's actually quite interesting.
Uh-huh.
Pat saw this newspaper article, and it was like fill out this or answer some questions and you could win a free TurboGrafx-16, blah, blah, blah. So whatever the stipulation was, he did it. He mailed it to the newspaper and then he kind of forgot about it. And it was like right around Christmas. And I think he just got the Super Nintendo, or maybe it was a Sega. I don't remember which one he got. I think it was Super Nintendo. But anyway, he got that. And then he comes home from school one day and his parents are like, "Hey, Pat, you got this package on the porch." And he's like, "What did I get? What are you talking about?" So he opens it and he's like, "Oh my God, I forgot all about, I did this contest." And so he like won a TurboGrafx-16. So that's how he got his. But I just thought that was pretty interesting. Pat has some really good, interesting videos on the TurboGrafx.
Okay.
But today when you said, "Hey, what should we talk about?" I just thought, let's talk about the TurboGrafx because it's such a weird system.
Right, right. It's like, dive into some of the beginnings of it here. I'm on the wiki page. TurboGrafx, known as the PC Engine outside of North America, designed by Hudson Soft and sold by NEC Home Electronics. It was the first console marketed in the fourth generation, commonly known as the 16-bit era. Though the console has an 8-bit central processing unit, coupled with a 16-bit graphics processor. And it was released in Japan in 1987 and in North America, 1989. Trying to think any other fun. Let's see. The PC Engine was created as a collaborative effort between Hudson Soft, who created video game software, and NEC, a company that was dominant in the Japanese personal computer market with their PC-88 and PC-98 platforms. So that's interesting because you figure like, you know, PC race, right? PC was always like better than a console because it had a better processing or whatever, right? They could play better games.
Right, you would think, for sure.
So you're like, all right, this, you know, game company's teaming up with the computer company. Sounds like a pretty win-win. And let's see. PC Engine made its debut in Japan market October 30th, 1987, and it was a tremendous success. The PC Engine had an elegant, eye-catching design and was very small compared to its rivals. PC Engine sold 500,000 units in the first week of release. Yeah, it's just so clean and nice looking for sure. I definitely dig the style of that, but
wouldn't you love to have been in a boardroom when like they were trying to like port it to America to be like, why did they make the design choices they made?
Right. I'm trying to see if it says anything about that here. They do have a few add-ons. They had a CD add-on so you can play CD games. Because we didn't even talk about the games. The games were in like this weird card format.
What do they call it? A Hue card?
Yeah, Hue cards.
Like what and a weird came, name, right?
They came in a CD case with the booklet. Right. And then when you opened it up, it was like in this little plastic wrapper and this little card that would
this little pouch
insert in there. In an effort to relaunch the system in North America market in mid-1992, NEC and Hudson Soft transferred management of the system in North America to a new joint venture called Turbo Technologies.
Well, this is the Turbo Duo they're talking about there.
Oh, okay.
You're going to have to come back a little bit because I think this thing came out in like 89, maybe.
In the U.S.? Let's
I think
see.
So.
It says Europe. I'm trying to see when it came out. American market. Here we go.
Oh, it says 88. NEC decided to expand to the American market and direct its U.S. operations to develop the system for a new audience. NEC Technologies boss Ken Schaefer formed a team to test the system. They found out that there was a lack of enthusiasm for in the name PC Engine, and also felt its small size was not very suitable to American consumers who would generally prefer a larger, futuristic design. They decided to call the system the TurboGrafx-16, a name representing its graphical speed and its strength in its 16-bit GPU. They also completely redesigned the hardware into a large black casing. The lengthy redesign process and NEC's mm-hmm. questions about the system's viability in the U.S. delayed the TurboGrafx-16's debut.
Right. So let's see. It went into the New York and Los Angeles test markets in late August, 1989. However, this okay, was so I was right. After, 89. 2 weeks after Sega of America released the Sega Genesis.
Okay, so they're already a step behind.
Sega did not waste time redesigning the original Japanese Mega Drive system, making only slightly aesthetic changes. So almost saying like, hey, if they didn't have to do a full redesign of this casing and like marketing and all this,
maybe they would have been on time.
They could have hit the market earlier and got the jump on it and maybe got those extra sales and hype for it.
That's so wild, right?
That could almost be a full episode of like how things have to get converted and be Americanized, like from coming over from Japan and stuff.
So this is slightly off topic, but also slightly on topic. But I was watching some TikTok or something recently. I can't remember what it was I was watching, but basically they were like asking what things were different in America than like in other countries. And they were like, your cars are huge here. Like our cars are tiny. Why does everything have to be so big in America? So that just kind of goes back to show, like, I don't know. I guess we think like bigger is better, maybe.
Yeah, it could come around to like how much money you're spending. You feel like you need to get more for that. So like if you get this tiny little, like, what is that? Like,
right. I just paid $200 for a square.
Right. Where my VCR cost $150 and it's bigger than that.
Right. maybe that's it. Maybe it's, you feel like you got more for your money. I don't know.
Yeah. So they did have like a mascot, I guess you could say, right? Nintendo had Mario, Sega had, well, Alex Kidd, but then they kind of switched to Sonic, yeah. Right?
Alex Kidd was kind of a failure.
I thought I could have sworn. So when I think TurboGrafx, I distinctly think of Bonks and I think of Keith Courage.
So I think Keith Courage was the Alex Kidd of the TurboGrafx-16. I could be wrong. I mean, leave comments if I'm incorrect. So I think that was like the original like mascot they started with. And then I think they quickly decided, you know, or maybe it wasn't quickly, maybe it was a few years later, decided that Bonk was more of a unique character that was like more recognizable with his right. bulging head. Because I feel like I remember seeing like Bonk's commercials. So it had to be for the TurboGrafx, unless it was for one that came out later on the NES, but I don't know.
Right. Like, I always end up forgetting that.
I do feel like I remember seeing Bonk on a commercial at some point and thinking like, whoa, what's this? Their marketing. Sorry, go ahead, Russ.
I would say, yeah, I mean, it really stands out as a game. It's nice and bright colors, cool concept. I dig the art style. So
like, yeah, okay, me too.
Oh, this isn't on Sega. This isn't on Super Nintendo. What's TurboGrafx?
Right. The other thing too, is like, I just don't know if they did enough marketing here and I don't even remember seeing the kiosk like or like a TurboGrafx kiosk at Toys R Us to play it or test it or like see its capabilities, you know?
Right.
But the Super NES one is like burnt in my brain.
Right. Yeah. Let's see. We have reception. I'm trying to see here in the States if it breaks anything of that. In Japan, the PC Engine was very successful, and at one point, it was the top selling console in the nation. In North America and Europe, the situation was reversed, with both Sega and Nintendo dominating the console market at the expense of NEC. Initially, the TurboGrafx-16 sold well in the US, but eventually it suffered from a lack of support from third-party software developers and publishers.
And that could have been due to Nintendo's like practices back then, you know, where they're like, hey, if you don't do what we want, then we're going to like not give you X amount of whatever to games.
That's
for that
true,
year.
True, yeah. Like if you had Konami essentially developing games for the TurboGrafx, then Nintendo could have cut them off and be like, listen, you can't release any games then this year on our system. And they knew
right.
they were selling.
That,
some
that was probably their cash cow. So,
right.
So there might have been some shady practices like that, but yeah, I don't know. It's just such a weird thing. Like it's amazing that it didn't really catch on, because I think it was pretty much equally as good, you know?
Oh yeah. We'll jump in with some more facts here for the library games. There is a total of 686 commercial games released for the TurboGrafx-16. In North America, the system featured Keith Courage in Alpha Zones as a pack-in game. PC Engine console received strong third-party support in Japan, while the TurboGrafx-16 console struggled to gain the attention of other developers. Hudson brought over many of its popular franchises, such as Bomberman, Bonk, and Adventure Island, to the system, with graphical impressive follow-ups. Hudson also designed and published several original titles, such as Air Zonk, very expensive game, Dungeon Explorer, Compile, and Alien Crush, and Devil Crush.
which those last two games are just like pinball games, but really well done.
Right, so it says two well-received virtual pinball games. Namco contributed several high-quality conversations of its conversions of its arcade games, such as Valkyrie no Dentetsu, Pac-Land, Galaga 88, Final Lap Twin, and Splatterhouse, as did Capcom with a port of Street Fighter II Championship Edition.
Ooh, I'd like to see that.
Nice. So they had some good titles on there from some of those third-party developers, for sure. Again, it's probably the promoting, or even it being in stock at like stores like Toys R Us, KB's. Like, was it at Bradley's and Sears? Well, Sears, you saw it in the Wish book, you said. So maybe they had some there.
Yeah.
But I almost feel like it's like a niche store to get
it. I'd like to go back in time and just like peruse a store and see what the like setup was for it, and like the display and how they advertised it. I think that would be super interesting. Like, was it right next to the Super NES, the Genesis, and we just didn't notice it? Like, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I wonder if there's like pictures on Reddit or something like that. Display in stores.
I feel like the box stood out. Like, I have the mini box. I don't know where it is exactly right now, but
okay.
But it has, you know, that like kind of like bright orange, and that dude that I always think looks just like Zach Morris from Saved by the Bell in the front.
That might be your Zonk then, maybe, or no?
No. Like, oh, he's like, it's like it? It's like a regular dude, like just playing the just game.
Oh, okay.
I'm looking to see if I can find mine so I can show you what I'm talking about.
I mean, I could just look up an image of the box.
Or that would work. Or that works.
16. But we did rank all console boxes the following week.
I think I gave this box the S tier. So I thought it was sick.
Oh, that's right. Here we go. This guy. All right, let me bring it up. If you guys are watching on YouTube, you can check it out.
If you're not watching, just imagine Zach Morris like holding like his face with like a jean jacket, and then like a close up of him holding the controller with the console in tow.
I mean, it's just in your face. Entertainment Super System.
Yeah, that sounds cool, right?
There's the kid having fun, and he's playing the game right there.
It's almost like Nintendo Entertainment System. They just switched two of the words around.
I wonder if they kind of are playing off of that. I did find a kiosk someone has on Reddit here.
Oh, I'd like to see that. Oh, so okay.
Here's a tabletop kiosk. It shows the system. It's got one game in there, and it's got a little like booklet thing you can go through and see what other games there are.
Yeah, they got like Bonk's Adventure and Newtopia. I wonder what that thing at the bottom is. That little bag. It almost looks
like a sweatband or something.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. It's weird.
I can't say I've never seen this before.
Yeah, I've never seen it either. Reminds me of being 12, salivating over it at Toys R Us. That's funny.
So maybe it was at Toys R Us. Someone says, yeah, you saw this at Toys R Us? Well, more accurately, it was probably the one with the monitor on top of a pedestal.
Okay.
So it might have been different ones.
So this sounds like they had a couple different ones. Maybe just wipe from our memory.
Right. We were just so laser focused on Super Nintendo and Sega with the 16-bit wars with their TurboGrafx wasn't even a contender.
So, you know, another thing that I think is really weird about the TurboGrafx is like that little shell that they gave you to like put on the back to make it look more rounded and less like a T.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? That little piece that slides on the back.
That little adapter.
Shout out to Megadan 29 who sent me mine. Thank you, sir.
Right. Because if you don't have that, then it's just like,
exposed. Then it just looks weird. It looks like this. Like a T. Like a Mr. T.
Like a Tetris piece.
Yeah. So another thing that's kind of neat is when I got mine, there was this is obviously my mini, but my real one had like this. It almost looked like the logo was peeling off right here.
Uh-huh.
And then, but in my brain, I was like, you know how like sometimes with electronics, they put that thin piece of plastic, protective plastic. Sometimes you don't notice it on stuff for years until it starts to peel away. Then you're like, oh my God, that's just a plastic on it the whole time.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about? So I started taking my fingernail and brushing at it. And then I saw a corner come up and I peeled it off. And it was like this little plastic piece that had covered the TurboGrafx label, protecting it for like 30 years.
I thought you were going to say you peeled off the label completely. And it was
No, it was like this little protective cover. I took a chance and I guessed right.
Nice. Well, I did have a tree. I sent Jay a picture. I forgot where I got this. Maybe it came in a store or something. But I have here a copy of Turbo Force. This is a TurboGrafx magazine. So, yeah, it's Sega Vision, cool. Nintendo Power, Turbo Force. January,
I wonder how rare that is.
1993. It's a little bit beat up. On the back, it's got some ads here for the TurboGrafx CD Super System card. And a couple of the games that are coming out for it. So I thought maybe I could kind of browse through here and
peruse it.
Give some tips and stuff. Let's see here. Because I don't think I ever looked through it before. They got news with the system. Super CD-ROM takes off. Shapeshifter, Shadow of the Beast of some games. Okay, so here's some previews for Bomberman 93. Battle Load Runner, Sim Earth, and Champ California. I don't know if you heard any of these games before, but
I mean Sims I've heard of, but the rest of it, Bomberman 93, I think I've heard of.
Right,
Champ California, never heard of that or whatever you said.
Let's read a little bit on Champ California. This looks very interesting. Garbage, it's everywhere, and even seems to be multiplying all by itself. But some of us know better. Camp California is probably the first ever environmentally aware game. Become a bear. Right. Become a bear or a pelican and clean up the mess that has been made. Your job is to pick up cans, banana peels, and any other trash you find that has not been properly disposed of. I don't know if that sounds fun or what, but.
Sounds like a woke game. Probably was from California. Take that, Aaron Stapish.
Let's see. We got Lords of Thunder. That's pretty epic.
That looks cool. He actually looks kind of like Keith Courage when he's in like in his alpha suit or whatever it is.
Right. Let's see. Looks like there's an RPG game here called Exile by Working Designs. That looks pretty graphically awesome here. Get some screenshots of that. You know, very anime-ish.
Yeah, it does. Looks almost like Dragon Ball Z. Hey, you know what would have been really cool about being a original adopter of the TurboGrafx 16?
What's that?
I bet by the mid-90s, you could probably find that stuff dirt cheap
when they were
liquidating it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, so they got a spotlight of Dragon Slayer. And they have all the characters here. And then it does go into some Japanese animation, the Bubblegum Crisis. I don't know. So I mean,
weird.
Obviously, all this stuff is very anime, very Japan. So
that must be for the CD,
right?
Maybe why it didn't translate well to America audiences.
Now, what is this Turbo Style?
Like if I see a game called Bubblegum Crisis, am I going to go buy that? Probably not.
Right. Right. Looks like they're talking about some movies in here, too, for some reason. I don't know why.
Maybe just added content. Who knows?
Right, kind of what's going on with the world here. Oh, fanzies. We got people that did some drawings. We got like Ninja Turtle right there.
That's sick.
So let's say, you know, very very similar to a Nintendo Power with, you know, they have people write on the envelopes.
Fan art. Yeah. Right.
And then, okay, so they have a breakdown of there's the coming attractions, right?
These okay, things. So it's like Pack Watch.
Yeah, it's just one page and it gives you a timeline. So we got in January, Buster Brothers on CD. February, Darkwing Duck, Legend of Hero Tonma, Lords of Thunder and World Sports Competition. March is Bomberman and Riot Zone. April, Bonks 3, Bonks Big Adventure. And then what else we got? Other releases that they don't know, Blood Gear, Beyond Shadowgate, Cotton, Dungeon Explorer 2, Destiny Hero, Might and Magic 3, John Madden Football.
Yeah, it was about that time.
Yeah, and they give you just, you know, kind of one screen. Well, it looks like two screenshots of what the games kind of look like. And then I like the ad on the very next page says, "Are you still playing with toys?"
What's it show?
It's just black. That's it. Oh, no, I guess it's a close up of the system then.
Okay. I didn't know if it was like making fun of like an NES or something.
I got it. Then you flip the page. Get serious. Get the Turbo Duo.
I was about to ask, was this, you know, were they really pushing the Turbo Duo at this point?
So what the Turbo Duo is, it already has the CD attachment.
Right. You don't have to have that weird piece on the back.
Right.
That's so the gonna... one that Tyler got with his dad. They found the Turbo Duo because he said, Turbo Duo.
If you're done playing with toys, we'll send you a free 20-minute video of the new Turbo Duo. It shows a VHS tape. Our software lineup, while supplies last, just send your name, age, sex, and tell us which game system you use now to free video giveaway.
Turbo Technologies. Wow, so they were trying to do some market research for a free video.
Right,
so it's almost like... I would love to know if that video is on YouTube.
I gotta look it up and see. It's showing a Turbo Duo system, $299.99 versus the Sega CD system. Sega CD attachable systems, $299 plus a Sega Genesis is $99.99, so you're spending $400. So they're showing you right there. You're spending $100 more to get that, or you could just get a Turbo Duo.
You could get a Turbo Duo.
So what would that be called? The Turbo Duo
VHS?
VHS, I guess you just look up or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be sick, dude.
I've never seen the only VHS I got in the mail was the Donkey Kong Country.
Donkey Kong.
Someone has it on eBay.
Ooh, how much?
$155.
I was about to say, probably expensive.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Is it on YouTube? Yeah.
If it's on, I'd like to just see what they show. Like, how extreme is it? It's mid-90s. It's got to be like, are you done playing with toys? If so, grab the Turbo Duo.
It's an 11-minute video, so we're not going to watch the whole thing. But you can.
Yeah, we're not going to watch the whole thing.
Turbo Duo Show the intro. Power VHS promo. I don't know. Well, maybe not.
We got to talk about the Turbo Express in a minute here.
The slowest crawl ever. Let's get to it. There we go. It's been
1 megabit CD technology. Until now. Two words describe a phenomenon that has arrived upon the scene like a force of nature. Turbo Duo Power.
Dude, this is so rad.
Oh my god, that background.
It's like Nickelodeon. It's like Rocko Modern Life shirt. Deeper, more compelling games with brilliant razor-sharp graphics, larger characters, more realistic animation, Hadouken. Faster action, superior scrolling, deadlier bosses, scarier scaling, and more challenging levels of play.
With the Turbo Duo, you can play standard Turbo Chip and 1 megabit CDs, as well as 2 megabit games. At $299.99,
cool.
Turbo Duo is the ultimate machine. With the
ultimate cool.
It kind of looks like a late night like QVC, like with all the scrolling and everything.
I'm not going to lie, I love this.
If I got this tape, I probably would have been hyped.
Yeah, right? I'm going to be like, oh, dude, screw the Super NES. So you got to get the Turbo Duo.
So, guys, look that up. Turbo Duo Power VHS promo. I'll probably finish watching it after this. It's a little 11-minute video.
Yeah, that's so sick. I love it.
I dig it.
So, the TurboGrafx was also cool because they had, was it the Turbo Express?
Right. It was a handheld.
And here's what makes the Turbo Express so awesome. You don't have to buy different games. It takes the same hue card as the TurboGrafx.
Right. Like, essentially, it was like the Nomad for the Sega system, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And it was, yeah, like I remember, like Tyler on one of his videos talked about one of his friends' dad had it, so he could play some like military style, like a combat game where you like had to like, I guess, strategically plan your battle or whatever. But such a neat system.
And they had add-ons with, like, right, the TV or whatever. You can watch.
I know the TV tuner was for the Game Gear, but maybe they had it for the Express as well.
Like, I don't know what this is. Turbo
Enemy
Vision.
State. That's so cool.
Picked up a Turbo Express not long ago, enjoying it thus far. I don't know what this one is here on the side, but fairly. I'd say it's almost like a Game Gear on its side, right? It's not that big.
Yeah. No, it's not that big.
I feel like the Nomad was probably bigger. Well, also because it has to take the thickness of a Sega Genesis cartridge, right?
That's right. That was the other cool thing. It was already like a hue card was already like a perfect size for like a portable system.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Just like you could almost carry one in your wallet, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Your credit card.
Let's see. I think we're going to jump in and see what you guys were talking about. We asked the community, said, hey, give us your stories. Tell us about TurboGrafx, and we'll see what you have.
I want to read one. I've already told this person I want to read there.
What did you say? What did you say?
Springfield, let's hear from you.
All right, let's see. We got our Facebook page. A few people wrote in on here. Aaron says, it was the first console I ever owned that I didn't also have to share with my younger brothers. When we got an NES for Christmas, it was one gift for all three of us. Same with the SNES. I remember one day my parents came home from a day of shopping and my mom handed me a pick and save bag and told me that it was for me only.
Wow.
Inside was the TurboGrafx 16. I never even heard of this store, pick and save.
Yeah, I wonder what that is.
PIC, the letter N, and save. She only paid $50 for it. Since then, it's been one of my favorite consoles. I currently own four of them, a Turbo Express, and numerous PC Engines and Turbo Duos. Such a great system. Nice. That's a great story. Brandon, I was a very poor kid growing up in a family with 10 kids. Wow. I had to wait 9 turns just to play on the NES, Genesis, N64 at different times growing up. Honestly, I didn't even know the system existed until I got into retro gaming. Now I have the Mini, which is excellent. And then we got our buddy Aldo. I never owned one as a kid, but I always sighed with jealousy seeing it showcased on the old Babbage's catalog. Thanks to the TurboGrafx Mini, I've been able to explore games like Blazing Lasers and Bomberman 93. Also, instantly fell in love with this banger of a track.
So he sent us a link.
A little YouTube link of, it's going to open up in a new window. It's from Bomberman 93, though. Will you be able to hear it? Let me know if you can hear it.
All right, I'll let you know.
Can you hear it? It's playing.
I hear nothing.
Okay. I guess I would have to share that screen. Well, that was the last comment there. We'll get a little glimpse of this Bomberman track right here, and then we'll read our other comments.
Hey,
has like an Indian feel to it.
I was gonna say, oh, like Egyptian or like,
yeah,
pretty neat.
Cool,
I dig it. Thanks, Aldo. All right, we'll jump over to our community page.
I want to read the one from Chris Courage when you get to that one.
Yeah, so Pixel Plus jumped in. I just remember seeing commercials for it all the time, but barely knew a soul who actually owned one. Interesting to think the marketing seemed good, at least to a kid, but not enough to make it count.
Exactly. That is very true.
Very true. This is all Jay.
Right, all right, you ready?
Yep.
Here it goes. Chris Courage. What a great name. Keith Courage. This was my first game console when I was a kid and is my favorite to this day. The time had come that my parents want to let me get a game console. Prior to this, I was an Apple II gamer. Both the Genesis and TurboGrafx-16 had just come out, but for whatever reason, I just kept looking at the TG-16 and could care less about the Genesis. I remember seeing both of the systems on display at Montgomery Ward's Electric Avenue. The launch lineup of the Turbo just seemed way more appealing, so that's what I decided to go with. It was going to take me a little over a year to save up the money, as I didn't have a job at the time. So a few birthdays and Christmases later, man, what a patient kid. I had saved up enough. Instead of getting a new system, I was able to find a bundle with the CD drive at a local pawn shop. That was a killer deal. A little over $200 for the system, the entire CD drive setup, two controllers, the TurboTap, Keith Courage, and three CD games, typically worth at least $50 a piece. A year later, I ended up with a lot of games for it, as my dad found out that the local box office video was selling off all their rental TG-16 stock. My dad picked up one copy of every game they had for $5 a piece. What a steal. I always look forward to trips to Toys R Us so I could look at all the other games. I didn't have to stare at the Turbo kiosk. Nowadays, I have a sizable collection, and my second job is repairing and modifying these consoles. I could keep talking about the Turbo graphics for hours, but I should probably shut up and leave room for others to come.
Chris, that was an epic story. I love it.
I know, right? I was so epic. I was like, oh, I got to read this. And then I did a terrible job reading it. So sorry. In my mind's eye, I was going to do it more justice than that. So sorry.
And that's awesome that his dad was like, yo, they're selling these games. Let me get one of every game because it's only $5 a piece. Like, let's just clean them out and he'll be able to enjoy all these other games. And that bundle was great too that he got.
Yeah, I mean, who knows how many rentals they had? Was it like 5, 10, 15, 20? Like,
that is true. They probably had, what do you think, maybe 10 games to choose from? 20 probably. Max? Like, because you're going to be stock, if you're a rental store, you're obviously going to be stocking heavily on Nintendo, Super Nintendo, right. Sega, and all those.
But maybe not TurboGrafx, yeah. Mm-hmm. Probably didn't rent very well, so they didn't sell many, yeah.
Hence why they were selling it off, yeah.
Right.
All right, we got Nexus. He said, I got the system as a kid and only had three games before moving on to the 16-bit consoles. Keith Courage in the Alpha Zones was the pack-in, was decent enough, but Bonk's Adventure outshined it as a platformer. I also somehow had Splatterhouse at the tender age of 8, too.
Amazing.
Gotta say, that was the creepiest game I've ever seen at the time. Yeah, they did a good job with Splatterhouse on there, for sure. Freaking use,
I had no idea how lucky he was with that
2x4 to smash. Well, I mean, he was probably watching Friday the 13th as well, right?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, that's like one of the more like sought after games now, and he had it as a kid.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's pretty lucky. It's like somebody buying you like a little Samson as a kid, like, oh, I just happened to have that when I was a child.
And then we got Phoenix Severus. Growing up on the wrong side of the tracks only afforded us one console as kids, and Nintendo was king of the hill until Sony showed up. Was only able to buy my TurboGrafx-16 until about a year ago, and even then, I haven't been able to play it. It won't turn on. It probably needs to be recapped like many of my older consoles do now. especially the obscure ones like the Atari Jaguar, Lynx, and Game Gear. Surprisingly, Nintendo consoles are pretty sturdy and stood the test of time. Yeah, I guess they didn't have a lot of caps and stuff on there.
Yeah.
Chris chimed in on his comment. Hey, I actually repair these consoles. Lots of times when people say a TurboGrafx won't power on, the problem is usually a bad RF port. Have you been able to test the system with any kind of rare expansion port adapter that provides a better video quality? That is one thing we didn't bring up. The TurboGrafx connected via RF, not AV.
That's right.
You had to get a converter to go AV.
Yeah, which I have one now. I did a really good video on the TurboGrafx called Frankensteining the TurboGrafx 16. And I was really proud of my thumbnail that I made. It's pretty lame, but I like it. It was Frankenstein and he's pointing at the TurboGrafx.
Perfect. How many views again? Is it on there now?
I have no idea. I'm sure it's on there. NES Addict, Frankenstein and TurboGrafx 16. Or you could probably just type my name in TurboGrafx 16.
NES Addict Turbo.
Let's see that. Let's see that.
I thought Frankenstein was going to be bigger. He's a little guy.
You got to remember, this was like 10 years ago. I was an idiot.
7 years ago. Look, there's Young Jay.
Yeah. Look at.
Today we're going to talk about how to Frankenstein together a TurboGrafx 16. All that and more next.
I was wondering if you're going to do the all that and more.
Not quite as intense as now.
All that and more, I guess, coming up.
Yeah. So that's my TurboGrafx 16 that I got from the Video Game Cavern. I always have to give them a shout out.
Yeah.
And when I went, Rob, I don't remember how it came about that Robin told me that she had one, but she said, look, I don't know how to test it. I don't know if it works. If you want to take a chance on it, $10. So what I found out was what was that top comment? Someone wrote, dude, thank you.
1 year ago, I won one from a Goodwill auction and I was like, how am I going to test this thing? Now to find a game, which will be next. Too impossible.
That's so cool. But basically what I found out is you can take a specific Sega adapter, which I explain, I think it's like the MK2013 or something, and then you can take a Nintendo RF switch.
Okay,
so that's why I called it Frankensteining, because you have a Sega adapter, you have a Nintendo RF, and then you have a TurboGrafx 16, so you have like one of each, all three, and it works.
I dig it.
Yep. And if you flip the switch, you'll see your TV change like to white.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting enough. There you go.
So even if you don't have a game, you can see if it works.
See if it pops on. We did have a caller. Someone left a voicemail. I don't know if it's related to the TurboGrafx or not, but we could give it a listen. If you guys wanted to call in the show, it's listed in all the descriptions of the video on our website, theweeklywarpipe.com, or just put this in your phone. And you can give us a buzz. 949-682-9277. That's 949-682-WARP. Leave us a voicemail. We'll play it on the show.
I keep dreaming about my dream phone.
It's for you.
Hey, I was just calling to see if you guys had a little Samson. Do you guys have a little Samson in stock? No, I'm just kidding. Anyways, I called to say something, and then as I was calling, I completely forgot. But I do remember the second part. That's with Pac-Man Case was on the latest episode.
Yes.
He was talking about Nintendo Power and, there's a Pokemon card that's like, if it's in there, then it's worth money. Not that it's worth like a crazy amount of money, if this is the one he's talking about. But there is, if you guys remember the e-reader, you got your e-reader, mm-hmm. you hook it up to the GameCube, if anybody remembers that. We loved it in my household when it came out. We would go, like, to GameStop all the time and get these Animal Crossing cards. And, for Animal Crossing on the GameCube, you scan these cards and you get stuff in the game, and it was cool. But anyways, those cards are worth a lot of money now. I wish I would have kept them, but I have gone and bought Like, I do have some, but not the original ones I had as a kid. But, so anyways, the card is like that, and it's in this Nintendo Power. And, so yeah, it's in there, it's worth money. If this is one he's talking about, it's a Pokemon Eon ticket or something, so you scan it, and you get to go to this special island in the game that you only go to if you scan this card. So that's why it's, like, so valuable, you know. People love that game. They want the card to scan to go to the island. So anyways, I was collecting Nintendo Power, and I seen this magazine on eBay. It was a lot of, like, 5 or 10 Nintendo Powers, I don't remember. But one of them was the Nintendo Power that would have the ticket in it.
The card. Okay.
So I was like, yeah, it's kind of a long shot. Because there was no pictures of the magazine and, like, the inside, and they didn't even acknowledge it could have a ticket in there or whatever. It's just like they didn't know. But I was like, yeah, it's probably not going to be in there. But I wanted them anyway, so I ordered it. And then it came in, and it had that ticket in it. Like, still attached. You know, they were all in good condition. So I was like, no way. They must not have known. But
yeah, I wonder what the cover of that is.
That was kind of cool. I did find one, too. But most of the time you see those Nintendo Powers on eBay or wherever. They don't have the ticket in them. But
Right.
Anyways, all right, guys. Thanks. Bye.
Sweet.
I wonder what issue that was or what the cover was.
I could probably do a Google search on that one. Nintendo Power.
Hey, also, while Russ is searching this, in the future, I don't know if you said who you were at the beginning, but tell us your name so we know, like, hey, it's John from Kentucky or, you know, whoever you are. Let us know. So that way we can acknowledge you appropriately.
That's true. I don't think anyone ever says where they're from. They just say.
Or who they are. They just start talking.
Right. Let's see here. Came across a Pokemon card. Nope, that's a Pikachu. He said it was something different.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I wonder if it's this one. Pokemon. It's hard to narrow it down because there are a lot of Nintendo Powers with just Pokemon in it. But I'm like,
right.
I want to know which one it is with the card in it. So
what was the word he used? He called it a ticket or something. What do you call it?
Oh, like he was calling it a ticket. But he was
maybe
the e-reader. E-reader
maybe
card.
Maybe right? Secret Island e-reader card or something. Nintendo Power Secret Island e-reader. Yeah, I didn't know anything about that because I didn't have GameCube and was not gaming at that point in my life.
Okay, here it is.
Worried about hockey.
What? Why is this? All right, this guy's selling it on eBay for an absurd amount. I assume this is what it is. He has it in some like framed up.
So it's got an ad on the front.
Yeah.
Wonder what
So an Eon ticket, it's called.
Okay, that's what he said. Here. It was an Eon ticket.
So it's like, you know, it's giving you a ticket to get to the island. That's what they're... Scan it and then travel to a secret island in Hoenn. So they're showing you. I guess you would peel the card back maybe to use it.
Oh, something. Cool.
I'm not 100% sure. Can I see when... Does it say what issue this is? I mean, it's a later one because it has Game Boy Advance and everything. It's got Star Wars Rebel Strike.
Next
cover.
Time they have a bunch of Nintendo Powers, I'll be looking for that.
Yeah, 2003 Pokemon Eon ticket. So, pretty neat. All right, anything else you want to talk about on TurboGrafx and wrapping up this episode here?
Do you have one?
I don't. No, I never got one. My buddy David Apuzzo had bought one, and I don't think he ever ended up playing it. I forget if he was buying it for his brother because his brother really wanted to play what was one of the shooters on that one?
Blazing Lasers?
I thought it was Blazing Lasers, but I don't think it's that one. I think it's R-Type.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because I heard that one's really good on there. But yeah, I never got one recently. They had always been pretty expensive, and then if you get into it, the games itself are expensive. I would do so. My plan was, if I got a TurboGrafx-16, I would just get a TurboGrafx EverDrive card.
That's smart.
That's like $200, fine. Then I have all the games on there because right. some of the games are $200 or more.
So I'll tell you what I did. Because I have just like a couple thoughts left I want to say about it. So I got mine purely for the novelty of it and the fact that it was $10. I couldn't say no, right? So I got Keith Courage, and I've actually beaten that game. And the other game I have is Bonk's Adventure, and that's it. I'm never going to get another game for it just because it's like I really don't play it that often. It's just a neat novelty that I can kind of like, oh, yeah, I'd actually end up getting this weird thing that I saw as a kid that I didn't know what it was. But to kind of fulfill that need to like explore the library further, that's why I got the mini for my birthday that year, because then I can kind of test some of the other games. And I don't really play it that often, if I'm being honest. Most of the time I'm going to NES or Super NES. So that's one thing I wanted to say about it. The other thing I want to say about it is, for some reason, I lump the TurboGrafx-16 in with the Sega Master System, as far as just like really strange looking systems.
Okay.
I think it's because they're both long and they're both mm-hmm. black.
Yes.
And they're just kind of, and they're kind of lesser known, at least as far as when I was a child. I think I saw the Master System once, never saw the TurboGrafx other than in pictures.
Yeah.
So I just kind of associate them with like these weird oddities of the gaming world that I just didn't know much about as a kid.
Makes sense. But that's
really all I want to say about it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm lucky enough now that because of technology and people being able to hack systems and all this, I have my SNES Classic, which my buddy hacked for me, and it's easy for me to stream that way because it's a HDMI system, and he put different systems on there with the games. TurboGrafx is on there, and TurboGrafx CD with I think all the games, so it's easy access to it to play. I played through, you know, what was the Golden Axe game, I think, was in there, and some Keith Courage and this and that. The only thing, you know, I would prefer if I had the TurboGrafx mini so I can use the controller, so it's more like I'm playing the system, because then I'm just using whatever, you know, it's like the Wii Pro controller to play the game. Because then, you know, I need turbo. That's the whole thing with the TurboGrafx. It had a turbo function, right? So
built into the controller,
right? You know, you got to use the turbo to get past it.
You probably feel a little less like you're cheating because it's like they give it to you right there. It's on the controller.
Right. You're like, they threw it in, right?
Yeah. So it's fair. All's fair.
We'll see. Maybe if you guys like this, we can dive back into another turbo episode. Maybe me and Jay do some more like playing the games of research, and we do our maybe like ranking video or top 10 turbo games, who knows, something like that could be a good time.
Or we could talk about other weird systems like the Master System,
or what else is there? I was gonna say Sega Saturn, that's not really a weird system. What's the other CD systems that are weird? 3DO, the 3DO system.
Yeah, 3DO. Yeah,
that's super weird.
My knowledge on that is minimal. I'd have to do some research.
Right, I feel like some of those very odd. We could always talk about the Sega CD. I feel like that kind of stood out a little bit.
So yeah.
Future episodes, we'll see.
There you go.
Hey, let's see. We got quick shout out to our Patreons. We got Dan and Nicole's Treasures Untold, Joe Sheevy, Trace Livingood, Samantha Chang, Rodney Torres, Retrolic 16, and Austin Mills supporting on Patreon. You can head over to patreon.com/RussLyman if you want to support the show. Call in, check out the weeklywarpipe.com for all the good stuff. Oh, we did have an order. Someone ordered a mug and a t-shirt of the Weekly Warpipe. So I'm sending that out this week. So if you do want to get some merch.
So if you're listening, take a picture, stick it on Instagram or something, or YouTube or wherever, and tag us so we can see you in it.
Yeah. Much appreciate it. Yeah. I dig it. Sweet, guys. We appreciate you hanging out, listening, watching, always being here. As always, I'm Russ Lyman. Keep your world fun bit by bit. Also, we need a slogan, because I feel like that's my slogan, right? And I'm just saying it blows out. So
we need a slogan.
Call in, give us a slogan. Something with, I mean, it's gotta be like, and that was the warp pipe. Thanks for jumping in and going back and reliving some nostalgia. That's way too long, but you know, something in that aspect.
All right, we'll get on it. This week we'll be brainstorming.
Brainstorming.
New outro.
Have a great weekend.